In the collect of St. Gertrude the Great, we pray, by the intercession of St. Gertrude, do thou cleanse from our hearts every stain of sin, O Lord, and make us rejoice in her company forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Kennen Sie heilige Gertrudis? Do you know St. Gertrude? If you've ever read any of her prayers, you may find her to be a difficult saint. Her style, I mean. But I see her as the saint for difficulties, not only for the power of her prayer with God on our behalf, but also for her personal story, born out in our story, in this church which bears her name. Now, her prayers, many of which are beautiful and have great promises attached, could pose a problem because of her style of writing in the Middle Ages in Latin is so different from our style in modern American English. For example, she is all the time using the Latin adjective dulcis, which we usually render as sweet. And she very frequently will not just say sweet, said dulcissimus, most sweet, the superlative. But when she says sweet, for example, she doesn't mean sugary. She's thinking rather of something that doesn't have an equivalent in English, something which is strengthening and satisfying. A bit, as they say, is the effect of some good local honey on for those who are suffering with allergies. Her sweet also means smooth and soothing, and she is, for us, a sweet saint indeed, and she has always been, and we love her. In these difficult days, we know that we can count upon her. She knew difficulties herself, and sometimes sweetness must have seemed far from a little girl who was orphaned at the age of 5 or 6 and then brought to a convent to be raised by the nuns. But then she became a nun herself, and a brilliant woman, one of the most educated women of her or of any age. When she was in her 20s, she grew dissatisfied and somewhat restless, as young people may do at times. She had her own spiritual crisis until Christ came to her and gave her his hand and lifted her in her vision out of it over a thorn bush and to his side. He spoke to her in the words of the hymn we'll sing next Sunday for Advent. Why are you consumed with grief? Your salvation is at hand. And he made her, Jesus did, to see how sweet he is. Now, a nun's life may seem rather boring and staid next to our own exciting times. But don't believe it for an instant. And in any case, there was, during her days at the convent of Helfta, a marauding German nobleman. He was a brother of one of the nuns, and his name was Gebhardt. He violated the cloister during the ceremonies of Holy Week and set himself up right in the convent, and ate meat on Good Friday. And for this, he actually was excommunicated. Then, too, a short time before the death of St. Gertrude, there was a grievous trial for nuns or for anyone else. It was sede vacante. In this case, there was no bishop in the local diocese. And a group of priests, the canons of the cathedral, taking advantage of that, tried to squeeze more money out of the nuns in a kind of a dispute about the church taxes. to be paid. And because they resisted, they took away their Mass and their divine office, music, and the sacraments. That's called being put under interdict. And this lasted a considerable period of time. Well, we've never been invaded by marauding German soldiers, nor have we, despite some pretty good tries, ever lost our Mass or sacraments. They've never been silenced since that Saturday, St. Albert the Great's Day in 1980, when our first church was dedicated. Indeed, all of our history here, all of our life, the dramatic bits, and the ordinary majority, all of our resistance to the enemy of modernism from without, and sometimes the enemy from within. You know, we were meant to be closed down in 1983, and in 1989, and in 2009, and St. Paul says, Ecce vivimus, look, we're alive. All of this, I think, shows St. Gertrude's patronage and the more than slight resemblance between the saint and her church here in Westchester, Ohio. Consider with me just some of the conflicts she knew, both public and private. This good woman who lived so long ago and whose life is intertwined with ours still today. We look back sometimes and we ask, why? Don't you do that? Why does God allow his children to suffer such trials as we have known? St. Gertrude says it's because God wishes to win for himself the hearts of all the congregation, which was his chosen garden, so that those who lived there, harassed by trouble, might be purified from all carelessness in his service and take refuge in his fatherly protection. This explanation is worth pondering, as are the problems, the imperfections of our saint. It is perhaps because I have so many faults of my own that the imperfections, rather than the seemingly unattainable virtues of a saint, interest me most of all. They certainly should fill us with hope. And this, I think, is what makes our saint to be unique. Our Lord wove about and because of all of her little faults and problems, a great wholesome doctrine based on her failings to help us in ours. For example, her impatience. There was another saint in the convent with her, Saint Mechtild, and one time she actually complained to our Lord about how he could put up with someone who was so impatient, and our Lord defended her. It was, he said, because of her love of truth and of virtue. Or that bad habit she once got into in her life of answering questions curtly. She would say, God knows. And then after a while, she realized that could have been irreverent to take the name of God that way, and she tried her best to overcome it. When her reputation for sanctity spread throughout the area, many people came to see her all day long, and sometimes she just wanted some opportunity to pray quietly. And so when the sister portress who answered the door would come and knock on hers and say, there's some visitors to see you, she confessed later she pretended to be asleep so that they would go away and she could have some peace. And even that fault that besets the prayerful was hers at times. One time she was sitting down to say her prayers, and there were a lot to be said, and she was saying them rather quickly, clipping the words as she rattled along, as people will do sometimes when they pray the rosary, dropping letters or even syllables. And then the devil appeared to her and started mocking her and gathered up all of the bits of the Bible verses she had dropped in her haste. He threw them back at her with glee. And what did she do? Was she discouraged? Not a bit of it. She threw herself at the feet of Jesus, of his heart, for him to settle it for her. What are we to make of her faults? Our Lord told her it was better for her to resist and to fight on day after day than that he should suddenly perfect her and make her into a perfect saint. Our Lord says that his heart is honored, and we earn our reward every time we resolve over again to avoid some fault for the future. And when we do this for love of him, we show God, he says, as much loyalty and honor as a soldier gives to his commanding officer when he fights on bravely in battle. Still, while he wants us to fight on, to fight self, I mean, and to fight sin, those are our only enemies. Our Lord wants us even more to turn to him. And perhaps here we see one of the greatest uses of our own weaknesses. His heart, he says, stands ready to help us to repair our faults. He waits to do our bidding as a servant or a waiter would stand next to your table for you to put in your order. Appropriately enough for St. Cecilia's Day, my last metaphor is musical. St. Gertrude's writings, have you ever dipped into them? I recommend them. St. Gertrude's writings abound in homely comparisons, and they're not really difficult to understand. Our Lord says, if you have a beautiful voice, some of you do, and you enjoy singing, as surely you do, wouldn't you be annoyed if somebody came around with a very raspy, unpleasant voice who could hardly even hit the notes, and then that person said to you, stand aside, I'm going to sing instead of you. I'm going to take your place. Our Lord says, I'm waiting, my heart is, for you to ask for help. In words, or even a little gesture would suffice, and I'll be happy to take your place and to perform whatever it is you're having trouble with. It might be some impure thoughts. It might be some uncharitable resentment. It might be a terrible temptation to cheat or to cut your prayers, or to be slothful or mean or sharp in your answers. Whatever it is you can't quite handle, he'll perform it for you. All you have to do is ask the Sacred Heart. After all, he says, I'm omnipotent. I know all things, and my loving heart desires to do this for you. Let's look at St. Gertrude today, at her and at our history. Let's look at the Sacred Heart, and let's look at our own heart. And in token of our confidence, because of our faults, not in spite of them, let's let go and let's let God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.